Notes from the Upper West Side, a novel by Dan Wrench.
Chapter 129, Freak Out. So I freaked out. When the hooker broke eye contact with me, she could have been shoving me off a ledge 40 stories above the street. That burned me up. Where was her professionalism? I took off my apron and threw it under the bar. I could see Carrie staring at me out of the corner of my eye, and I didn't care. I swung around to her. "I'm going home! I'm having a panic attack!" She didn't hesitate.
"You fucking loser!"
she screamed. Her eyes were silver dollar wide, like I just stabbed her in the neck.
"Oh my God, you fucking schmuck."
She'd almost made it out. Her shift was a half hour from ending. But she was chubby cheeks young. She didn't have my baggage. "It's a medical condition," I screamed back at her. "I have a therapist, you know." And I was out the front door. "Do some overtime," I thought as I pictured her back there raging and cursing. Yeah, she was going to tell Arvo, our manager, and he would make me get a note from Jessica saying my medical condition required me to stiff them for half a shift. But I knew getting a note from Jessica would be a breeze, so I pushed the Carrie and Arvo confrontation down into the purgatory of pending obsessions. I don't remember how I got back to my apartment. I really don't. It was most likely on a bus because fuck it if I have money for a cab, even when I need to be alone. And you know, the city should have some universal plan for that. Rich people get cabs. Poor people have to ride a bus while listening to some street drone explain democracy to another street drone, who intermittently says, "Damn." But somehow I got back home, even without my long-term memory recording my mode of travel. When I got through the front door of the apt, I stepped into our little foyer and got smacked in the face with the smell of fried chicken and bleach. Bleach! Like the bar in the hands of the femboy swabby at the tavern. It was a conspiracy. I wanted to explode at someone. Anyone. Just show me a human face. Humans! Bastards! When I walked down the hall to the living room area, I could hear the clack, clack, clack from the computer keyboard. Yeah, it was Junior in a raspberry sweater on her schmuckbook page with a desk lamp shining on the computer screen and keyboard. The light washed back across the room to cover the sofa and chairs. Numb twat. Swear to any god you like, including the one that eats children. She was making herself blind just so she can one day claim the disability checks. And her maroon slacks made her ass look like a giant bloodstain. Just remembering that ass in those slacks makes me want to spit up. The boys were in bed, so she didn't have much of a job now, did she? Time off is what I call it. And me imagining her back here holding off the viscous brood.
"Oh, hi, Paul,"
she said in kind of a sing-song after glancing my way for a split second and then snap! Right back to the computer screen. "No, are you all right, honey? No, why are you home so early? Have you been maligned again by swarming assholes? You'd think that's the least I could get from my fucking spouse, don't you?" I'm supposed to be at work. The kids are asleep. Her face is buried in some social snark work. I come in. I could have been mangled in an unusually violent bar accident or beaten up downstairs by sidewalk vultures. And she barely looked at me. But at the moment, I was kind of glad she was a self-centered slit. This way, I didn't have to talk to her. Damn, it's hard remembering this without feeling a little of that anxiety. Like right now, typing this, I'm on drugs. Paxamander. 15 minutes ago, I felt the drugs reach my neurons, and I had this other perspective on my return home that night. Like, I was outside of myself and standing in the corner cracking wise to the audience about the circus clown bartender and his wife with the bloodstained ass. But now, the drugs have worn off a little, and it's like I'm back there getting my face chewed by an angry ferret. When I got in that night and saw Junior bantering online, I raced for the bathroom and the drugs. I opened the medicine cabinet and pulled out the bottle of Paxamander and stomped down the hallway. Stomped! So I'd be certain she heard the footsteps that meant I was heading for the front door again. I opened it. I know she heard that. I expected her to say, "Paul," any second, but nah. She was focused. Schmuckbook has that effect on evil twats. It sucks out their brains like a plumbing tool made from a movie star's cock. I got outside the door and slammed it behind me so she'd know the crazy was on tap. Mysterious crazy. Crazy she'd have to ask me about later if she was even slightly curious. In the hallway outside my door, I knocked a green pill out of the bottle and put it in my mouth. Fuck it, I should have gotten some water. And I couldn't go back in the app. I had already slammed the door. Me not going back in, that wasn't just marital politics. There was also the bleach smell and the chicken smell and my general sense of narrow walls closing in. Sure, I had a nasty pill in my mouth, but if I stepped back inside, I might suffocate. I was gearing up to full panic mode. My heart was starting to do the pound thing that meant any minute I would be gasping for air if I didn't calm down and focus. So I focused. The mission? Swallow this disgusting pill. I brooded it down my throat and then headed to the mermaid for a chaser. While waiting for the elevator, I began nurturing a new anxiety, namely, when would the Mander of Pax take effect if it did? See, I never know when the bloodstream is going to get the drugs to the proper cortex where they can hunt down and numb out the brain cells cloaking the insanity. And sometimes, if I've been on a medication for a while, the cells cloaking the insanity just shrug and laugh. And seriously, I needed the drugs to work now. Like I said, I was going to the Mermaid, but I kept thinking about how I really wanted to go to Florida. And I wanted to go there slow, like hitchhiking as a nobody with just enough cash to get from motel to motel. Then I'd find a job parking cars and pumping gas in San Jose, like in that song about California. Just let this particular leg of my life be over. I'll park cars and pump gas in Tampa, I told myself. I'll meet new people and see new sights and save my money and get blowjobs from hookers. You think shit like that with drugs in you.
Notes from the Upper West Side is a work of fiction. The people depicted in this work do not exist.
Notes from the Upper West Side. Copyright 2024 by Dan Wrench.